I'm consider myself very happy to be both a very good friend of Maharaj and at the same time affectionate competitor, maybe from his side. When we were in England a few weeks ago actually, one of his disciples, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj, presented a slideshow. It was about finding your own authentic path in life, and there was one picture which he showed. It was a picture of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. It was a poster this big which had photos. There was his photo, and then there were photos of the devotees he liked very, very much. This poster was with him even in Vrindavan, and I was very charmed and very happy to see my own photo amongst a few other of the God brothers. And I also know that he often mentioned that he considers me a very dear friend and a spiritual influence in his life. Here comes the garland. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. But during his lifetime, I never knew about this. He never expressed it to me. I heard always through the grapevines what he told others, but he never said it into my face. And of course, I was asking myself, why is that? And I did understand. When he left his body, I wanted to find out the mystery of this personality who seemed to like me so much but never said it to me. I began to study books which he had written, and in my own little way trying to solve the mystery. In brief words, I think he was a very deep thinker, a very profound personality, and not at all interested in external validation. He was all about finding his own authentic path in Krishna consciousness. And although that was sometimes unusual or not like everyone else's path, he would go that path to the very end. When I passed a little while ago through Holland, we were on a preaching tour. We were in Amsterdam and afterwards in a town called Haarlem. We went also through the part where he was born and where he spent his childhood. And it was there that one devotee told me his Maharaj's own motto by which he would live. It's called in English coat of armor. In German the word is Wappen. It shows you put on this either with picture or with letters a motto that singles you out from everyone else. It was used by aristocratic people who would try to picture what they are all about on this coat of armor. It looks a little bit like a shield, And this coat of armor is, I struggle and I emerge. It comes from, you know, the context is that the Dutch people needed to build these dams and in a way wrestle the land from the hands of the North Sea. You know, they, those of you, most of you come from England or from mainland Germany. I'm from an island, so that it's like this, that with the incoming tide, and with the incoming flood, a new land is brought to the old land. But then when the tide recedes, or when the flood recedes, the water goes back into the ocean and usually takes the new land with it. You follow? This is the flood and the tide. So what the Dutch people did is they built dams and they regulated the outgoing water. And in this way, slowly, meter by meter, they got their land from the ocean. Previously there was ocean, now there is land which they used to colonize the families. So I struggle, and in the end I emerge. I think Kadambakana Maharaj lived his life like this. When our Jainitai told us that he was put before the choice, will he take medication that will take away the pain but also dumb him and dull his consciousness, or would he live without medication through this cancer disease, which meant a shorter lifespan with clear consciousness? He made the choice which takes a lot of willpower, a lot of struggle, not the comfortable choice. He struggled and then he emerged. Jayadvaita Maharaj, who commented on the departure of Kadambakanana Maharaj, said he ticked off all the boxes. That's an English, a New York slang way to, or ordinary language, which means he did everything right from the spiritual perspective. And perhaps that is the greatness of this great devotee. He took the spiritual perspective and kept it as more important than a material perspective on life. I think that is one of his greatnesses. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying on his deathbed, he was approached by his grandson, Yudhishthira, who would become the next emperor. And Yudhishthira asked the dying giant, so to say, a question. He says, he asked something which I think most of us are wondering about. The question was, how is it possible to develop good qualities? Good, you know, how can we develop inner strength that helps us to overcome feelings like fear or enviousness or anger? How is it possible to develop virtuous qualities? Yudhishthira asked Bhishma. And Bhishma said, it is by hearing about great devotees and by remembering that a human being can develop good qualities in his heart. Our scriptures say that if we remember saintly devotees, one-hundredth of their qualities will come to us. You might say, one-hundredth, that's a homeopathic dose. That's very small. But if you have a personality who has an ocean of good quality, one-hundredth of that is very much. So today I would love to remember His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, and I would like to speak about a few of his qualities. I do this really like a friend who feels honored to have had such a friend. So it is, these days I rarely leave my little ashram because I'm working at a temple, not at a book, and those who live with me in the ashram said, are you sure you're going there? And I said, yes, I'm going to meet my friend. It is a must. It is a must go. Good. So I thought to sing one little, just very short, and I'm too German to to make this into 2-hour kirtan. It will be a very soft kirtan, and I think it will remain very soft. So. Namo Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Hare 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 Krishna
Jaya 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 J
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Krishna. So, once Srila Prabhupada spoke about the simultaneously the disappearance and the presence of his spiritual master. One, perhaps the last book which Maharaj published was this one, Forever Present. I highly recommend it because he wrote it when he knew he would not be any longer in this world, and he wanted to give his disciples something to hold on in his presence. How could he say forever present when we saw that that he spent his last days in Vrindavan, and I think soon there's the opening of his samadhi. Is this true? So how is he always present? How is a great spiritual personality always present? And Prabhupada wrote about this. He said, my spiritual master has now entered into his Nitya Leela, into his eternal pastimes. And then he wrote a second letter and he said, but he's still seeing everything that I do. So he's still there overlooking me, looking over my shoulder. How can this happen, that the spiritual master, although he has physically departed from this world, is still there and looks over the shoulder of his disciple? This is a very good question, and Maharaj himself answers this question by calling into our memory a verse from the Padma Purana, where it is said that Krishna takes care of his devotees in this world in three ways. Krishna is there in the spiritual world, and he takes care of the devotees who are here in the material world in the fish way, the tortoise way, and the bird way. Ooh, what is this? Well, the fish takes care of his little baby fishes by watching them very carefully. In fact, the fish has very big eyes, usually, and sees everything. You can see our Lord Jagannath, he has a good vision. He can see every one of his devotees and every one of the Berliners as well. The Lord takes care in us of us, although he is there and we are here, in the tortoise way. The tortoise goes to the land and lays its eggs into the sand and then immediately goes back into the ocean afterwards. But while the tortoise is in the ocean and the lands, the children or the eggs are on the land, the tortoise does something there in the ocean by which she takes care, she meditates or sends its thoughts to the little babies, and then boom, 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 they come out of their eggs and look a little around, and then they know what to do. They also go into the ocean. In the same way, Maharaj said, the spiritual master meditates about his disciples, even when he is far away from them, even if he is in another dimension, just like Krishna is there in the spiritual world and meditates about his devotees. The third way in which the Lord and also his representative takes care, that is when he's present, is like the bird way. The bird keeps the little baby birds just around him, protects them with the wings. I remember once Prabhupada gave a public program, and there were two lady disciples with him, and one of them was singing in the public program a Sanskrit song, and one man in the the audience afterwards said, this was very wrong Sanskrit pronunciation, very bad. So Prabhupada became very strong, and he said, these ladies have more devotion than you will ever develop in 100 lifetimes. Protective, very like the bird, you know, protecting its children. So in the same way, the spiritual master watches us, he meditates about us, and when he is present with us, he keeps a careful watch and cares through physical contact. I mean, he's there. Physical contact means here direct association. Maharaj wrote also in this book something, two things which I want to repeat here for all of you. Let me see. I hope it's, yes, it's here. It is said, when the spiritual master leaves us, then the physical association, the bird way, cannot be had any longer. Then, at that time, it's important for the disciple to associate with his instructions. Here's an instruction for all the disciples, which I found is really wonderful. He says, I would like you all to be well-rounded people. Well-rounded means people who take care of all aspects of life. Your personal life, your bhajan, and your worship, your absorption in the philosophy, as well as your contribution to the movement. So he said, I have often spoken about these three balls. We are always juggling. Do you know a juggler? He has three balls always in the air. And it's not always easy. He has to focus. And I have seen jugglers who have maybe up to 10 balls in the air. They have to throw very high. So he said also, although it may not be very easy, three things we should always keep there, and we should keep our full attention on them. That is the ball of personal well-being. Now he makes it very clear. You know, physical, emotional, everything. I think we all liked about Kadamba Kana Maharaj. He was so natural. He was really like a human being, you know. Then the ball of sadhana, and then the ball of doing something for the mission. When I saw Maharaj, when I interacted with him, I could see that he kept these three balls as much as possible in the air. we all know his intense schedule. I think he got up something like 2 o'clock in the morning each morning, no? 2 o'clock? Yes. You heard? Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning. He got really early up. And then he would travel like anything. He would give lectures. He would give kirtans. He really took every ounce of his energy. But there were times also when he took care of his personal well-being. I remember in Radhadesh, he had his little room and he would not take part in any temple program, but he would stay there and recover and get back his energy. So he, and I visited him during this time, and yes, we spoke about this aspect. Then his sadhana. You know, one ball is personal well-being, second ball is sadhana, no? It means spiritual practice. I think we need to open again the door, because your intelligence gets dormant. So his sadhana, I used to have a room next to him. And because I'm running on a different schedule than him, not 2 o'clock in the morning, I eventually changed the room to the other side, because he would be there very early in the morning. You would hear bells and singing and so on. It was he was really a very disciplined sadhaka. I can really say that. I was very impressed by his energy and the fortitude which he put outside, he put also inside. And then the last thing, which is the last thing he wants all of us to be aware of, mission, yes, a mission, a contribution to the mission. I saw him during the Serbian summer camp. He would every day put so much energy in his presentations, in his being with devotees. He was all day speaking with devotees, mixing with the crowd, talking to just anyone and everyone. He was really using every ounce of his energy to do this. Jayadvaita Maharaj says that when he, one of the last words which he heard Maharaj say is mission. He came to him and he asked him, "What are you thinking about?" And then through his strained voice, strained lips, he pressed out this one word, mission, mission. So these are the three balls, or the three aspects of life which Maharaj recommends. Can we remember the first thing? Our personal well-being. Can we remember the second? Sadhana. And the third? Mission. So every one of you, I think that's a very wise advice. Could think about this in their life. What are you doing for your personal well-being? What are you doing for your sadhana? And what do you do to contribute to the well-being of others? Tragic is the life of someone who has only lived for himself. So these are the three things. In his foreword to his book Forever With You, or if not Forever Present, he writes, "I am in Krishna's hands now, and I pray that Krishna will allow me to continue to shower you with mercy. I have the desire to inspire my disciples to do something wonderful for Krishna. Make your spiritual life a gem, a beautiful offering. We come before Krishna and we say, 'Krishna, here is my offering. here is my life. Let me make it something pleasing to you. Yes, this is a mission of the human life, to step outside our own selfish little comfort zone, where we only look for our own comforts, although it is necessary to take care of our well-being, but we should not spend all our life with this one concern only, and then make our life beautiful by making it an offering to Krishna. In the beginning of our discipleship, the main question for most of the disciples is, what can I get from my spiritual master? A little attention, a smile, a time when we can talk one-on-one, and all these precious moments. I want to say they are important for us. I remember in my own relationship to my spiritual master, I knew if I would not have had these personal interactions with him, I would perhaps not maintain my spiritual life all these years. And Prabhupada gave me personally this opportunity. I think many of you knew I was invited to give him a massage, although I don't know this very well, but I think he saw, and Krishna saw, that for me it was very important to get some personal attention, some personal time, some private moment. But as we grow in this relationship, especially when our spiritual master is no longer with us, this turns into something else. This desire that I want to get something out of it turns into the question, what can I offer? What can I give? In mature discipleship, this is the main question. What can I offer? When one does this, when one has this mood, one will see how the relationship will really come alive, more than all the smiles and all the attention in the world. The relationship will unfold a certain magic that cannot be discussed in words, that can, like all these spiritual mysteries, only be experienced, and so on. If you turn in your relationship into this idea, what can I offer to my spiritual master? It's something totally different than the ordinary understanding of the guru. We have a guru, you know, there's a cartoon in the in a newspaper, I mean, it was sent to me, New York Times. There are two people meeting at a party. They have their sect glasses or champagne glasses in their hands. And the one said, I met a fantastic coach, says one person. But the other said, it said, I have something better than a coach. I met a brilliant guru. From a coach you get something. He's there, you pay him perhaps to give you some advices. But the spiritual master gifts come alive to us, not when we asked, what do I get from him, but what I give to him. That is a very nice point, perhaps, and it is especially true later when we have when we are older. I see this very much in the case of Lekha Sravanti and Jaini Thai. I think we need to apply a little bit more volume to this. I see they really do a wonderful service here in Berlin. Just look at this amazing decoration, for instance. But that's not where the service is restricted. You know, taking care of so many of you. And what we can see is there's some empowerment there. Can you see? Our community has grown so much. It has moved to such an attractive place because, yes, they are thinking of what can I offer, what can I give. I wanted to say something at the very end of it, but perhaps we can put it a little less volume because Hare Krishna. There is a very interesting text about spiritual guidance in the Bhagavad Gita. This text is one text of four texts which are explaining the essence of the Gita. And in this text, Krishna informs us, those who are devoted to me, I, who am dwelling in the heart with the torchlight of knowledge, enlighten them from within the heart. This, my dear devotee, is our shelter also in the guru-disciple relationship. The guru-disciple relationship is very different from other relationships. It's a relationship between three people, not two. There is the disciple, there's the guru, but there is also who?
Krishna.
Krishna, you know already everything. With this one answer, you have satisfied my inquisitiveness, how attentive you are. Yes. Prabhupada speaks about this. He says something which I really... scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion are many. But even if a devotee does not take full advantage of their literature, or if a devotee does not take full advantage of his or her spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. You know, there may be a time when we are not together with our guru. There may be a time when because of our own pride or our own misunderstanding or just the way our conditioned nature has developed or has shown itself, we may not be able to take full advantage of our spiritual master. Or there may be a situation like our spiritual master has left us, like it has happened to you and me. Our spiritual master is not present any longer. Still there is someone right in the heart, and this someone will be there looking at us like a person who looks from a balcony down to a person who walks on the street. This is Krishna, who is constantly watching over us and who is present in the spirit of in the relationship of guru disciple. Turn to him also, don't forget him. After all, perhaps in the lectures of your spiritual master, that is all he talked about. Krishna, 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 Krishna. If you listen a second time, you might hear it. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Good. So this is a little bit some thoughts, but we miss him very much, very much. The times when he was with us and he led us through many, many deep thoughts in his lectures. Did you notice he was an original thinker? No, he did not only take other ideas that had been developed by others, but he would develop these ideas. This is called realization. When you take from the tradition, from your spiritual master, from the lineage, from Srila Prabhupada, and so on, an idea, and you think about it and let it mature in your heart. And many of his lectures, I believe Jaini Tai shared this with us, were always so full of deep insights where you think, I think Jaini Tai used the word wow. You know, it was surprising, it was touching, it was inspiring to hear that. We miss his personal way, his natural way. Ooh, so he was a real person. If I have ever met a real person in our movement, he is one of those. He belongs definitely to those. Sometimes he would come to me and said, "Oh Maharaj, I wish I could lead kirtan like you." You know, a few days ago, someone, a punk, came to me and said, "You lead kirtans, they are hardcore, they are wonderful." And I said, "Is this the reason why you choose me as your spiritual master?" he would talk so so personal, and yes, he was always very kind. We would always try to make time, find time, I mean, and we would find time always to talk at least a few hours about our experiences on the spiritual path of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, we miss him very much. So while our mind and intellect looks for ways how we can say, "Oh, he's still here," our heart cries and says, "We miss you very much." And I think to live with this paradox is important. Yes, he's there in one way, he's accessible, we can be in contact, but in another way, we just miss him. The world always becomes a little bit darker when a great soul leaves. The light goes a little bit dimmer. And at that time, we need to follow the great soul's inspiration, the lead, you know, his example by which he leads, and perhaps become also lights. Never like the great soul, but we all become lights, take the lights. My dear devotees, every one of us should become a mirror that reflects the light that is coming from outside and then reflects it back, or the mirror which takes the light, I wanted to say, and then reflects it back. Become a mirror of greatness, mirror of these great saints. His Holiness Kadambakanana Maharaja ki Jai. Gaur Premanandini. Hare Krishna. Whom of you knew Kadambakanana Maharaj? Can I please have a quick? Oh, quite a good number of you. Who did not meet Kadambakanana Maharaj? Yeah. I really encourage you, you can ask Lekha Shavandi Jaini Thai. He has a good presence on the internet. I think we can find lectures and kirtans and even little videos I have seen, no? That is available. Please, after this, you know, you are in a little ceremony where we say goodbye to a great soul. But please, afterwards, educate yourself a little bit about him and his writing. It's really worthwhile. It is very inspiring. No? You can ask his disciples. They know the computer link where to find him. Good. I've come to the end.